Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cashatt. I'm your co-host, and joining me in the conversation today is my friend, Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. So good to talk to you. It's been a while.
I know. I always enjoy chatting with you.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I have a story. You know how I love stories.
And actually, you have great stories.
It's two stories. It's the story of two different hotels. All right. So this spring, I was on the road pretty much every week. It was a pretty intense travel time. At the first hotel, one weekend I stayed at, I was greeted by a woman with a huge smile who said, "Welcome. We're so glad you're here." I'd arrived early in the day, like it was mid-morning, but I had to speak that night and I had a long flight, so I really needed to sleep. But because I got there early, the room wasn't ready. And so she told me that she would call me as soon as it was ready. And she apologized profusely. She comped all of my parking, my valet parking, just to accommodate me for my inconvenience, which really wasn't her responsibility. And then she showed me where a coffee shop was where I could wait until my room was ready. I wasn't at that coffee shop more than 45 minutes to an hour before my phone rang. My room was ready. And by the time I got to my room, it was an upper room, a corner room with windows on both sides. I mean, it was just perfect. And I thought, wow, what an amazing first impression. Now, fast forward a couple of weeks to another hotel, which will remain nameless. I arrived. I stood in line for 45 minutes just to get to the front counter. There was no place for me to park my car. There was nobody interested in helping me find a place to park my car.
Good grief.
I eventually got my room. I arrived to my room. My room smelled like somebody's leftover dinner from maybe a week before. It was bad. It was so bad. The smell was so bad. I actually went back to the front desk where I stood in line for another 30 to 45 minutes to let the front desk clerk know that there was something very foul going on in my room. And would you know what the front desk clerk's response was?
I hate to guess.
He said, "Well, ma'am, sometimes hotel rooms smell."
Oh my gosh.
And that was it. And so I walked away pretty much stunned, because at this point I had spent about 2 hours trying to get settled. And, you know, it was fine. It all worked out. I was thankful to have a room. But the comparison between these two hotel experiences, two established hotels, I should say, was like night and day. And I couldn't help but think of how often that happens, where you can have different vendors of whatever product it is, doesn't matter. And one experience can be an absolutely wow experience, and the other experience can be just awful. Yep. And they're offering the same product, but the experience is very different. And it certainly impacted whether or not I go there in the future. And I would imagine you've had similar experiences, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. This past weekend was our 38th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
38.
Yeah.
And you're only like 39. So how is that even?
I got married very early. But so I decided I really wanted to take Gail someplace really, really special. And so I asked one of my daughters, who's a real foodie, I said, "What is the best restaurant in your experience in Nashville?" And she said, "Well, Dad, the one I like best right now is a restaurant called Prima, P-R-I-M-A. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Super, that's good enough for me." So we made reservations. Well, get this. So we got there, and I expected it to be a good restaurant, because we have a lot of great restaurants in Nashville. Mm-hmm. But when we got there, they ushered us into what they called the chef's table, which was a private room with just the two of us. Now, we like quiet restaurants because we're kind of at the age where, you know, if there's a lot of ambient noise, it's hard to hear each other. And so, you know, like we're this older couple that's like, "What? What?" So we liked being sequestered off in this private chef table room. Mm-hmm. The thing that we loved about the service, we like service that is kind of invisible, mm-hmm. you know, where the people are there when you need them, but they're not intrusive. Like I had lunch today with Megan, and the restaurant in this, or the waitress in this other restaurant was constantly interrupting us. And I mean, every time we built up a head of steam and we were in this great conversation, she would stop and she kept asking us the same question. She says, "Is everything delicious?" Yeah. First of all, I hate that question. I mean, it's kind of manipulative, but at any rate, she just kept asking us that. But back at Prima, the service was perfect. I could not have asked for better service. Like if your glass was empty, they just filled it up. They didn't ask you if you need a refill. They just filled it up. Mm-hmm. And the food was phenomenal. Totally exceeded our expectations. We loved it. They recommended a wine pairing that was just perfect. And it was just an extraordinary experience. It exceeded my expectations on every front. And that's really, to me, the essence of how I define a wow experience.
Well, and the bottom line for all of us who are business owners, entrepreneurs, or trying to get some kind of message that we're delivering out there, the bottom line is that the marketplace is very, very crowded. So you can't afford to have any less than a wow experience for your client. Because if you don't deliver a wow experience, it's guaranteed somebody else is, and you're going to lose your customers in about 2 seconds flat.
Well, and today, wow experiences are the new customer satisfaction. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe 10 years ago or so, everybody was doing customer satisfaction surveys, and the goal was to have satisfied customers. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's enough. And let me explain here. Let me just kind of unpack what I see as the architecture of wow, because it's totally possible to create it, but you have to understand what causes it. And a wow experience, in my definition, is one of those experiences that kind of causes your jaw to drop, where what you expected and what you got were totally different. Mm-hmm. In a wow experience, the expectation was exceeded by the actual experience. So you thought you were buying one thing, like 5 weeks ago or so, we went out west, we went to Sedona, and we ended up doing this thing called a pink Jeep tour of Sedona. And I thought, well, okay, it'll be a little bit of off-road experience. Blew our minds. We went to some of the most amazing scenes that I've ever seen anywhere in the world. And so I had this expectation that I was going to have an off-road, dusty, hot experience. What I did was I was able to see these amazing vistas in parts of the that countryside that you could never get to on foot, or at least it would be difficult. So that was a wow experiences. Now, on the other hand, customer satisfaction is when you get what you expect. Mm-hmm. Right. So one of the reasons people go to chain restaurants a lot is because they can count on the consistency. Mm-hmm. They get what they expect. They're satisfied. They're not wowed usually. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of the last time you went to a chain. You probably weren't wowed, but you got what you expected. You were satisfied. I fly a lot of airlines, as you do.
Yes.
And I fly Delta quite a bit, and I fly American quite a bit. I never get on an American flight and go, whoa, that really exceeded my expectations. Mm-hmm. Now, thankfully, I'm generally satisfied, but there's not a lot that happens that exceeds my expectations. That occasionally happens on Delta for me, where I get my expectations exceeded. And I'm not endorsing either one. I'm just trying to illustrate a point. Disappointment happens when the expectation is greater than the experience. Mm-hmm. So this happens to us a lot, right? Where you think, oh my gosh, if I can just get that thing, or if I can just have that experience, just eat at that restaurant, it's going to be amazing. And then it's kind of a letdown because our expectations are so high. Uh-huh. So really what we want to talk about in this episode is how do you engineer those wow experiences so that your customers' expectations are exceeded. That's what gets you referral business. That's what builds your business. That's what makes your customers raving fans.
Well, I was just going to say that I'm glad you mentioned the referral business because wow experiences is really what gets people talking.
Yes.
Meeting customer expectations doesn't make customers talk.
No.
But wowing them is when they're sitting at dinner with friends and they're like, oh, you wouldn't believe this experience I had the other day. It's the wow experiences that ignite a customer's desire to talk about it.
Well, that's right. And I mean, if you look, whether it's Amazon, on customer rankings, I mean, I can look at my own book as an example, my own most recent book, Living Forward. Or if you look on Yelp, the things that get people talking are really bad experiences, are really good experiences. If it's just customer satisfaction, nobody
talks about it. And both of those have an impact on your business, the talking about really negative or talking about really good experiences. Totally. So we want to avoid the negative and we want to enhance the good ones. So do you want to wow your customers? Michael is going to answer five questions or give you five questions that you can ask yourself in order to engineer that wow experience. It's a lot easier than you think it is. You don't have to join the circus or jump through any kind of acrobatics in order to make it happen. Right. So, but Michael's going to give you his process of basically asking and then answering five questions to help you engineer wow for your customer. What is that first question?
Well, the first one is really simple, and it's, what is the product or the experience I want to create or transform into a wow? So it's something that you offer to the public, and you want to transform that. You're decided you're going to be deliberate about engineering the wow into that experience. So when I first discovered this, I had just come back from one of the Apple conferences where Steve Jobs had introduced, I don't think it was the first iPhone, but it might have been, you know, a further one down the road. But I just thought that experience was so wow. Everything about it, everything about his presentation, everything about the products was wow. And I thought, wow, how could I exceed people's expectations? So I came back to Thomas Nelson. Again, I was the CEO there. And I said, we're doing some remodeling. How can we engineer or recreate our lobby so that it's a wow experience? Let's be deliberate about this, because this is kind of the first place where prospective customers, authors, vendors encounter us when they walk into the lobby. I mean, we've got our website, we've got, you know, the phone, way we answer the phone and all that, but the lobby is a principal place. So how can we bake the wow into that? Recently, as we were talking even before the show, we've launched my free to focus productivity course. And so as we were looking at course software, we said, how can we create a web experience, an online course experience that is second to none? How can we bake the wow into it? So I think, first of all, it just means answering the question, what is a product or a service that we want to use as a test case and we really want to transform it into wow?
We could even do this with, and we can get as basic as creating a wow experience on our websites, correct?
Totally. You could do it with a speech. I mean, you're out there speaking a lot, but to say, you know what, this is a speech. I mean, you helped me with a speech a couple of years ago that I really wanted to be a wow. And so we identified it as that. We said, we're going to turn this into a wow.
So think, for those of you listening, think outside the box. It might be a tangible product. It may be a website. It could be a consulting service that you offer. It could be a presentation. There's so many different possibilities, but think through your unique business and what kind of product or experience do you want to transform into a wow? That's where we begin. So identify that so we're really clear on what we're transforming into that wow. What is the next question that you ask yourself and an answer, Michael?
Yeah, the next question, question number two, is how will the customer or the prospect feel as a result of this experience? So in other words, what's the specific outcome you want to create? And the more that you can describe this in emotional terms, the better off you'll be. So for example, when I had somebody walk into my lobby at Thomas Nelson, I wanted them to feel welcomed. I want them to feel positive about the company. I wanted them to feel like they were at home, like somebody had been thoughtful enough to consider what their needs were would be. And it just wasn't, you know, a staging area like, you know, a cattle chute where we're going to put the cattle on the truck. You know, this is going to be a place where we're making our first impression and we're taking it seriously. Or when we were designing the course site for Free to Focus, we just said, how do we want people to feel when they log in? And the way we wanted them to feel is we wanted them to feel like, man, aren't I smart for buying this course? And this is going to be an amazing experience. We wanted to create a sense of anticipation that we had thought through all the details, and we really wanted to exceed their expectations. So again, how do they want to feel, whether it's eating the food that you're serving or using the service or the product that you've created? How do you want them to feel? What's the outcome?
All right. So the first question to ask is, what is a product or experience I want to create or transform into a wow? The second question, how will the customer or prospect feel as a result of the experience? And like you said, Michael, we want you to be as specific as possible to really use those kind of emotional feeling words. So that way you can be very specific about the outcome that you want to create with that customer. What is the third question?
The third one is to assess, I mean, if that's the expectation, you know, that's the kind of experience we want to create. What specific, this is the third question, what specific expectations does the customer typically bring to this experience?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's just say it was a speech, you know, let's just say you're part of a lineup, you're going to be speaking and people come and they say, okay, I expect this person to be reasonably organized, maybe have a few funny stories, entertain me, but I'm probably not going to get that much out of it. Okay. So then if you can say, you know, I want them to cry. I want them to laugh. I want their life to be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
That's something else different. Or when we were looking at the lobby at Thomas Nelson, as I got together with the operations staff, we said, okay, the expectation is that you're going to come into a lobby with some furniture that's probably kind of beat up, with some decor that's outdated, with some magazines that are way out of date.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not going to be offered any coffee. You're probably going to have to sign in and the receptionist is not going to know you. And, you know, the receptionist might even be kind of playing the role of a security guard, like looking at you askance, like what business do you have doing here? And so, you know, we just tried as much as possible to define what the experience would be. Or when it came to my new course, we were thinking, what's the typical expectation of somebody coming through the door of a new course? Well, it's going to be delivered on the web. There's going to be a video. There'll probably be some downloadables,
mm-hmm.
but that's probably it. And so this is important to know what people are coming with, because then you can begin to engineer the wow. And in fact, the lower their expectations, the better.
Isn't that the truth?
Because the hurdle's not as high to jump when uh-huh. the expectation's low.
Uh-huh.
That's why there are so many businesses out there that are ripe to being taken over. I mean, I'm convinced one of the reasons Uber has been so successful is because the experience that people have come to expect from a taxi ride.
You know what? That's actually very insightful. You're absolutely right.
So they just said, well, how could we create a better experience? How could we exceed people's expectations mm-hmm. and make this really a wow? And the fact that when I get an Uber, I don't have to think about tipping.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy.
It's easy.
I don't have to pull out my credit card. I don't have to, you know, go through that whole rigmarole at the end of the ride. I know that I'm going to get somebody that, you know, is competent in a clean vehicle that's not going to have, you know, really bad BO.
Unlike my hotel room. Is that what you're saying? That will smell better than my bad hotel room.
Jerry Seinfeld has a whole routine on taxi drivers. It's hilarious. I just listen to it.
We digress, but I'm going to have to listen to that later.
We'll get mail on that one.
This whole conversation is really making me think about, I mean, everything from, as writers, the books that we deliver. I mean, if we really spend time thinking about the expectations of our consumer and how we can wow them, you know, sometimes we're just so caught up in what we feel that we want to deliver or what we feel called to do that we stop to just sit and go, okay, let's think about the consumer. What's their expectations? How can we so anticipate their needs and meet their needs and exceed their needs in such a way that they're overcome by it?
Well, and it's in the little things. Mm-hmm. You know, Oprah has this saying, and I love it. She says, love is in the details.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really true. Like, I don't do this anymore, but back when I was a fancy CEO and I had to go to investment conferences where we had investors as a public company, they would usually hold those, weren't my conferences, but in a Ritz hotel. So I remember a couple times staying at the Ritz in New York, and I would check in. And of course, they were the first people, not Chick-fil-A, but the Ritz was the first people to say, it's my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, that's awesome. I mean, how many times do you go to a grocery store or a drive-thru and they don't even thank you for your business?
Uh-huh.
But for somebody to say, and I love this about Chick-fil-A too, to say, mm-hmm. it's my pleasure. Or at the Ritz, when they hand you your hotel key, they would walk out from behind the counter. They would walk with you to the elevator because, I mean, you know, trying to find the elevator is sometimes a hassle in an unfamiliar uh-huh. building. And then they would hand you your key and they would say, it's my pleasure. Welcome.
You know, it's so powerful. Sometimes we think that creating a wow experience is an expensive proposition, that right. it's going to cost us tons of money and tons of time. And so we forego even thinking about it because we just don't feel like we have the budget for it, whether it's financial or time. But, you know, your whole example about it's my pleasure is so powerful. I actually just took my kids to Chick-fil-A the other day. And we had been talking about this whole concept because I've been listening to the audiobook by Deanne Turner. Turner called It's My Pleasure, and she's an executive at Chick-fil-A. But anyway, we go through the drive-thru, and sure enough, we get the food, and the gentleman that handed us the food, I said, thank you, and he goes, it's my pleasure. And all three of my kids in the back seat jumped up, and they're like, he said it, and they were so excited. And I thought, what a simple thing. It didn't cost the company any more money to teach this. It didn't cost that guy really any more time to say it. And yet it left a significant impact on three little 9-year-old kids, right? And so I think for all of us as business people, entrepreneurs, we've got to get out of that kind of stuck mindset thinking that it's going to cost us too much go the extra mile. It doesn't.
That's right. It really starts with our intention and just kind of thinking it through and starting with the end in mind. That's why that second question was about how do you want them to feel as a result of delivering your product or your service? That's really where it begins.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, we have two more questions to discuss in a moment. But before we do that, you mentioned that you have something special for those who are interested in blogging. Can you share that?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I believe that blogging is a really powerful tool for any leader or business owner, but a lot of folks just don't know how to get started. They either never start a blog or they don't start in the most optimal way. So I've created a resource to help solve that. And
yes,
it's free.
Oh, yes. First of all, I love the fact that you always have great resources, even better that it's free. So what is it?
Yeah. So it's a set of easy to follow instructions and a screencast that will take you step by step, click by click through the process of setting up your own self-hosted blog. And a self-hosted blog is a foundational tool for anyone who wants to start blogging or wants to take their blog to the next level by self-hosting it.
And why is self-hosting so important, Michael?
I thought you might ask that. Self-hosting allows you to tailor your website with a lot more freedom and efficiency. And it also gives you true ownership of your site. So it's not like building your house on a rented lot. It's like building your house on a lot that you own. So you'll have your own domain name, which makes you look like a pro. And the screencast makes all that possible for you because it walks you through the whole process.
So basically you're saying that even somebody like I can set it up. It's not that difficult.
Well, yeah, I think even you could do this.
You sounded skeptical there. Please reassure me.
You were the person I had in mind. I thought, if I can make this so simple that Michelle can do it, I've got something.
Oh, I'm going to get called to the Geico commercials. I know. Instead of the caveman, it's going to be so simple, even Michelle can do it. All right. So it's not difficult to set up. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, you can absolutely do it in under 20 minutes. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/self-host to learn how to do it. When you sign up for the PDF instructions, you're also going to get an email from me with a special discount on services from Bluehost, which is the company that I recommend and the company that's the top number one rated hosting service by WordPress itself.
And I use Bluehost as well. And so with that discount, it makes it extremely affordable for a monthly self-hosted site.
Yep. It's a no-brainer.
All right. So that's michaelhyatt.com/self-host. Again, michaelhyatt.com/self-host. You and I, we can sign up for the free screencast and PDF instructions on self-hosting. We can get that special discount from your recommended hosting provider, Bluehost. Really, there's no reason why we shouldn't start doing that kind of blogging right away.
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer.
All right. And I believe you said it wouldn't take very long, only about 20 minutes to get it all set up, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. So perfect. I hope all of you take advantage of that. Now let's get back to our conversation for today, which is, do you want to wow your customers? Here are 5 questions that make it easy. So far, Michael has covered the first 3 questions that you need to ask in order to engineer a wow experience for your customers. The first question, what is a product or experience I want to create or transform into a wow? Second, how will the customer or prospect feel as a result of this experience? In other words, what is the specific outcome you want to create? The third question, what specific expectations does a customer typically bring to this experience? So kind of identify what those typical expectations are. And then what is the fourth question, Michael?
The fourth question is, what does failing to meet customer expectations for this experience look like?
I don't want to think about that. I
know. Well, it's really important to think about that, I think, because you realize that everything is consequential.
Yeah.
So for example, let's say you're writing a book and you really want that to exceed people's expectations. But what does it look like if it doesn't exceed people's expectations? You know, what if it's boring? Mm-hmm. What if it doesn't have enough stories in it or enough specific practical applications? And then I try to imagine just one step further and imagine them leaving a bad review on Amazon. This gets very motivational for me. Mm-hmm. Or when people come into my course experience, this new Free to Focus course, and it doesn't meet their expectations, if I leave them disappointed, you know what they're going to do? They're going to ask for a refund. And I'm always willing to give people's money back, but I hate to do that mm-hmm. because I know in a way we failed to deliver on the promise that we made. So what does it look like? Or if you're in the restaurant business, what does a negative Yelp review look like? I never forget, I was talking to Jay Baer. Do you know who he is?
Uh-huh.
So he's written a book called, I think it's called Hug Your Customers. No. Hug Your Haters. Something like that. It's close to that. And anyway, one of the things he talked about is this very thing about when you disappoint people. He said he had a restaurant owner that called him and said, man, I've got a Yelp problem. And so he said, well, what's your problem? And he said, well, I've got all these negative reviews on Yelp. And he said, no, he said, I think you have a food and service problem. And that's really true. The problem was not Yelp. Yelp was simply reflecting what was true in this guy's business.
Oh, wow.
And so to visualize what it means to fail to meet customer expectations can be very helpful because you mm-hmm. and your team can realize that there's a lot at stake here and it's worth making the effort to re-engineer this product or this service so it delivers wow.
What you're basically doing is you're shining a different perspective on the, I guess, criticism that he received. It was actually helpful feedback.
Yeah, exactly. It was, if you just taken it that way.
Okay. So the fourth question, what does failing to meet customers' expectations for this experience looks like? And in many ways, when you identify that, that helps you go back to that second question of really identifying what you want the customer to feel as right. a result of the experience. So when you look at that failure, it really ties into, okay, if failure looks like this, this is how I want them to feel. So they go very much together. What is question number five?
Yeah, the fifth one is kind of the other side of the coin here. What does meeting customers' expectations for this experience look like? And to really engineer, and so for us, as we were looking at the lobby at Thomas Nelson, we said, what does that need to look like? Well, we wanted to redecorate it so that, you know, it was up to date. Let's start with that. Let's start with the fact that when they walk in, there are magazines that are actually current, mm-hmm. you know, that would be interesting to them. What if we put stacks of our new books around and invited people to take a copy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would exceed their expectations. Or what would happen if when they went to the receptionist, they were greeted by actually somebody who was glad to see them? Shocking.
Imagine that.
Or somebody even better who was expecting them because we had a system in place to notify the receptionist who was going to be visiting so that they could, you know, say something kind about that person, like, oh, you know, Mr. Alder, we're so glad to have you here. John is looking so forward to see you. So they feel welcome. Ask them if they'd like a cup of coffee while they wait or a glass of water while they wait or whatever it is. But just to think through the details and the intentionality of that.
All right. So what does it mean? What does meeting customers' expectations for this experience look like? And it's good that we're ending on a positive question like that because that helps us be motivated to creating that wow experience.
It does. And it can get you very excited. I don't care what it is. You know, if you're giving a speech and you're thinking about, man, I would love to have people just blown away where they're sitting in their seat and they're just going, oh my gosh, you know, that was amazing. And they're out talking about you and they're sharing the experience and other people are booking you as a result of that. I mean, you can take this, make this as elaborate as you want.
Absolutely.
But a lot of good things happen when we bake in the wow. And I'm sure people get tired of hearing me say this, but Apple was such a good example of this. And mm-hmm. I think still is. You know, I think we've come to take it for granted in many ways uh-huh. that they're going to always wow us. But when Steve Jobs was the CEO, they just did a phenomenal job of doing that almost every single time.
So before we go, we have like a minute or two left. I wanted to do a real practical example, something different than like you did Thomas Nelson and when they would come in the foyer. Let's take a blog, for example, since we were talking about blogging during the break. How might a blogger create that wow experience? So working through these five questions, how would you do that? Just give some kind of practical hypothetical example.
Yeah. Okay. So let's just say starting number one, we said, okay, I want to re-engineer my blog so mm-hmm. it's Wow. So that would be the answer to the first question.
Okay.
The blog is what I want to do. How will the customer or prospect feel as a result of the experience? I want the customer to feel like this person, this blogger, has been reading my mail. How do they know that? You know,
yes,
they've been in my
exactly.
inbox, or they've been listening to my phone calls. How do they know what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking? How do they know the language that I use to express myself? Third question, what specific expectations does the customer typically bring to this experience? You know, here's one more blog post. It's probably going to be all about the blogger. They're probably going to miss some. Maybe it sounds interesting. I don't know. But, you know, people have pretty low expectations online, I think. Number four, what is failing to meet the customer's expectations for this experience look like? Well, I can tell you on a blog what it looks like. It looks like they vanish.
Click.
You know,
they go somewhere else.
Yeah, you've got basically about 10 seconds to live with a blog post. And if people don't find relevance, if they're not intrigued, if they don't find that it's going to meet a need that they have, they're going to bounce off of it. They're going to go to the next interesting thing. And then five, what is meeting customers' expectations for this experience look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like in a blog. They subscribe. You know, they subscribe to your blog updates. They share the blog post with their friends. Maybe they tweet about it. Maybe they post it on Facebook, but they share it. And they begin to build trust in you as somebody that they want to listen to and invite into their life on a regular basis.
So helpful, Michael. Thanks for taking a minute to do that.
Yeah,
I think that kind of practical breaking down how you and I can create wow experiences, even on just a daily blogging basis, is so powerful for us.
Good.
Very practical. Well, if you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. But do us a favor before you go today. I promise it'll only take about 30 seconds or so. Head over to iTunes and rate this podcast. It's a huge help for us in improving our rankings and keeping the show visible to others so they can discover it. So please just take that 30 seconds. We're so grateful. Thank you ahead of time. Do you have any final thoughts today, Michael, on this concept of developing wow?
Yeah, I would just invite the listeners to identify one product or one experience or one process even that they want to turn into a wow. You know, don't go whole hog. Test this with yourself and with your team. Convince yourself that it's worth the effort and the time and maybe a little bit of expense to make it better. But just identify one and give it a shot. This is a hugely fun team exercise to do. So if you've got a team, even if it's a small one, it's really fun to be intentional about this and create wow experiences. To me, nothing gets me more delighted than delighting my customers.
This is what makes what we do even that much more fun and fulfilling is when we can serve them even better. Well, thank you, Michael. And thank you for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.